Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show.
What's going on, everybody? Ash Korchan here with another episode of the Gen Z Hoops podcast. And I'm so thankful to be joined by Coach Brad Zellner. Coach Brad, really appreciate you for joining me on the show. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to speaking with you today. I've loved all of our conversations leading up to this. You've struck me as being very professional, and it really struck a chord with me. So I'm excited to speak with you and to finally meet you in person, or at least in Zoom, and ready to go.
Thanks so much. The pleasure's all mine. So I like to begin our little discussion here with talking about like your connection to the game of basketball, as well as growing up.
Yeah, growing up, man, I tell you what, I was blessed to have, I feel like at every level, great coaches, you know, and not necessarily, and it was, you know, we called it junior pro where I live, you know, when you're playing from 9, 10, 11 years old, I had coaches that understood the game. It's not just some parent that was helping out. So my connection started early. So my love started early. Just my connection, you know, like I said, I learned from the game. I learned the game, had a great understanding of the game and wanted to continue with it throughout, you know, my life and my career. But right now my connection into the game right now is, you know, like I said, I'm a coach in the basketball league, which is a semi-pro team, minor league system, probably a step under the G League. And I'm right now, I just joined the staff of Derby City Distillers, who's in Louisville, Kentucky. So,
yeah, definitely. Can you talk a little bit about like how you got into coaching and like what that process was? I know you mentioned previously you were a high school player and then you were a manager for your college team as well. Yeah. How did you know you wanted to take that jump into coaching? Because that's not like an easy jump to take from going from a player to a coach.
No, it's weird. And I'll be honest, we were just talking earlier. I kind of knew when my playing career was over. You know, I wasn't one of those guys who were trying to hang on and play. I knew I was done. And it happened in high school. I was just, you know, wasn't a great player. I was a good role player, starter, you know, for the team. But that's where it stopped. From then on, I wanted to somehow still stay involved. So when I went to Eastern Kentucky University for my undergrad, I was just trying to figure out ways to get involved. So it was basically as simple as knocking on a door. Right. You know, you hear knock on doors, doors are open, you know, things will happen. And it was really one knock. And it was the head coach, who's Scott Perry, who you might sound familiar. He just was the New York Knicks GM for the last 8 years. He was the head coach at Eastern Kentucky at the time.
Oh, wow.
It was interesting. Small world. It was interesting that I knocked on his door and he sent me down to the assistant coach's office. And next thing I know, you know, I went from not involved in a college basketball program to being involved. And that was one of my goals, is to be a college basketball coach. And I thought, well, I've got to be involved in college basketball to be a coach. So that's the route I thought I would take. So,
yeah, definitely, man. And you obviously accomplished that part of your career. Like, you coached at institutions such as Indiana University Southeast, Miami University Hamilton, and then you even coached a women's team at Oakland City University. Can you talk about your experiences as a coach in each of those programs? Like, what made you want to recruit a player, and like, what kind of culture did you instill in each program?
My first coaching job was Indiana University Southeast, and when I was graduating from Eastern Kentucky, one of the assistant coaches, he was offered the job at IU Southeast. So he brought me along as his assistant. So I go from basically a college student to a college coach in a matter of weeks, which is a very fortunate opportunity. And it wasn't like I was, you know, going to be a GA or anything. I was thrown right into the mix to where I did everything, you know, small college, NAIA basketball. We knew it was a rebuilding situation.
Right.
The team had won 6 games the following year, or the previous year. So we went from 6 to 8 to 18 wins in 2 or 3 seasons. So it was a great learning experience. I got to do a little bit of everything, you know. That's learn great. The game. You find out you're the weight coach one day. The next day you're the scouting report coach. The next day, you're driving the bus to the games, and another day you're the school counselor, trying to help them with classes. So you really get your hands on everything at the small college level. And I think that's what has helped me, continue on and take my steps through the years to be the best coach that I can be. So.
Yeah, definitely. Can we talk about a little bit about like recruiting? Like I always ask my college coach, Coach Steph Thompson over at Hobart, like, what do you look for when you're trying to recruit a player? Like every coach is different in this process, but for you in particular, like what was your mindset going into recruiting?
Man, obviously the first thing you're looking at is for talent, right? Definitely. You got to win games. You want to, you get W's, even though I'm always a guy who I will say, I'm not worried about wins. Although if you put in the work, that's the results you get. So I'm always talking about do the work. So I'm looking for guys like that. If you're just coming in here, and you're get so caught up in wins and losses that it, becomes a distraction. Those aren't the type of people I want to be around. So I'm looking for, obviously good talent, but as a college recruiter, then the next thing you look at is grades,
right?
Can they do the work in the classroom? Because if they're not eligible, what good are they? You're trying to help young men and young women get a college education.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and basketball is just the means to do that. So are they going to be good in the classroom? Are they going to do the things they need to do? And finally, I look for people I want to hang out with. Do they share the same mindset? Not necessarily mindset, but do they share the same kind of philosophy I share? Do they want to get better? Do they want to be the best they can be? Are they good people? Can we sit and talk about nothing else other than something else other than basketball? Right. Can we just sit down and hang out? Can we not necessarily be friends, because you can't really be friends with your players, but you look for those types of do you like to be around those people? Because you got to spend you spend a lot of time, as you know, with your teammates and your coaches. If you don't like somebody, it can be a problem. So you just look for people you like.
Chemistry is a big thing. I realized on a, not even like just a college team, like an AAU team, a high school team, you're always on the road. You're always practicing together. It's like, you gotta be able to hang out together. You gotta share hotel rooms with each other, showers sometimes. Don't mean to take it there, but like you just spend so much time together, and it's like, you just gotta be able to like spend the time together and like get along at the end of the day. I feel like, you know what, what you just brought up there, it made me think a lot about my favorite basketball team, the Miami Heat. I don't know if you're like familiar with Heat culture in a way, like that term that's been thrown around.
Yeah.
Over the summer, I actually talked to Bob McAdoo, which is like a scout for the Heat now, and he's like, even said they look for guys like who want to stay in the gym. Good people outside of it, like who aren't like jerks who are going to be like going out like clubbing, partying all the time. They want guys who are going to stay locked in and like focus on not just winning championships, but just like getting better day by day, like a huge developmental piece of the game they like really focus on. So I thought that was like a good connection right there to what you just told me.
Yeah. And it shows in there and how they play and how they win. They're always the one of the better teams at the end of the year. If they can sneak into the playoffs, look out.
Always have a chance,
Have a chance, because they get those guys who want to be in the gym and want to get better and want to do what they need to do and do the right thing.
Right.
So they'll come up, and to them it's not a surprise.
No, because they know.
Because they know. Yeah. But to the NBA media and the people that aren't watching, it's like, wow, where'd the Heat come from?
I know. I saw a stat actually. It's like they over like the last like couple seasons they've won like actually the most playoff games like out of any team in the league. I know it's like not people aren't really gonna look at that because they haven't closed a deal and won a championship, but like it really shows like the developmental aspect. They get guys like Haywood Highsmith, Caleb Martin, like out there like from like their G League team, which is the Sioux Falls Skyforce, and that just shows like how great of a program they are. Going back to like your college, sorry, we got a little off track there.
No, you're fine. No, that's good, man.
I want to talk more about like what kind of cult, like you mentioned, like you have like a philosophy. You had a philosophy for like each program that you worked with. Can you talk about like what kind of culture you want to instill in each of these programs?
Yeah, and I've done a lot of work myself personally. You know, and I live by, a few words. I can share them with you if you like.
Yeah, definitely.
And they cover, and they're vague, but they're not vague to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I live by these four words, and this is kind of my own personal philosophy or my personal culture's respect. So you've got to res you and that just everything around you, and that goes to you respect the game, you do the work, and if you're away from the game, you respect, just life in general. You do the things right, do everything the right way. My second one is learn. I'm a lifelong learner. You've got to always be willing to get better. Never assume you know everything. So that's very important to me to always learn and constantly learn, and then I can carry that on and teach others as I'm learning. Also, loyalty is big with me. Although my definition of loyalty has changed over the years. A lot of people see loyalty as you stay with the same thing over and over again. And I feel like in the past I've stayed with jobs too long. I haven't looked out for myself, which, is not a bad thing, but I've been loyal to other people and other programs, and I might have missed out on opportunities. So my new loyalty is I am loyalty basically see, while I'm in with your team or working with you, I am helping you out as much as possible. I'm giving you 110% of my time, doing everything I need to do. When it's time to move on, it's time to move on. So that's a kind of my new style of loyalty. And finally, it's just laugh. You got to have fun.
Yeah,
Because I
definitely.
mean, we're talking. I mean, I know I'm gonna assume you take this game serious. I take this basketball game serious.
Of course.
But you got to laugh, man. I'm that type of guy where in the middle of practice, I'll say some stupid, offhanded thing that has nothing to do with anything. And everybody will just look at me like, he's nuts, dude. He's crazy. And I'm like, come on, man. We gotta laugh. We gotta have some fun. So I gotta enjoy it. My son just looked at me and said, yeah, you're right, Dad. You gotta have fun with all this. So if for me, if you have those four characteristics, you're gonna go far in life.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to that last part, laugh. My old math teacher and he used to like train me as well when I was in high school at Salisbury. His name is Jeff Ruskin. He actually always told me like, in anything I do in my life going forward, I need to have fun. Like it's not all about just like making money or like if I'm not enjoying what I'm doing at the end of the day, like it's not for me. I need to go and ha have fun with my life and like just simply enjoy what I do at the end of the day.
100%.
Connecting back to like the kind of culture you instill with those like four terms right there. It brings me back to like what Coach Steph says a lot about at Hobart. We have pillars: pride, unity, respect, multiple efforts, and bigger than basketball. Each of us live by those pillars, and they really propel us and helped us get off to a 7-0 start this year. So
Yeah, good.
those that kind of culture connecting back to like what you just talked about really shows like success in a college program, I think.
And I'm sure your coach lives it too.
Yeah, he does. He
You
does.
can't, I can't just talk about, respecting life and then not do it and then, be a jerk to everybody.
Yeah.
You got in one, people will find that out really quick, but the big word, you said heat culture. I think they live their culture. You hear a
One
lot of
month before.
GMs and
Yeah.
you hear a lot of GMs and coaches come in and say, I'm going to change the culture, but to what, do they actually, and then they get fired 3 years later. So did they live up to that or could they not change it or whatever? But you hear culture thrown around a lot. But I consider it kind of talk is cheap. How are you actually showing that your culture? It's not something you talk about, it's something that you do. So
I really don't think it's something you really change necessarily either. I feel like you can build it
yeah.
up more, you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like a new coach comes in and you technically a lot of the time you still have the same roster of players and they're used to a certain way of play, they're used to a certain offense, a certain system. It might not always work to like come in and scratch everything and start from start scratch, like we've seen that a lot with the Knicks, like when they were going through all those head coaches before Tom Thibodeau, like I think Jeff Hornacek, Derek Fisher, like all those guys, they're trying to like And then they were trying to like start something new, but it obviously didn't work out. And then they finally get Tom Thibodeau, and they have like a Rough Rider guys who are like willing to get out there and like die, like not like die, but like figuratively speaking, like go die for their coach and win the game. You know what I mean? So
Right.
like, they kind of match his mentality, and that's just like going back to like 90s style New York Knicks basketball with like Patrick Ewing and stuff like that is what I always think about.
Yeah. And one thing when Scott Perry was there, when he was the general manager, one thing I learned from him when I was his student manager was how to be professional every day.
Right.
He is every he's the pro's pro as far as how he carries himself and how he acts and how he does things. And that carried over, I think, you know, till the end of his term as general manager, is that he brought in a professional feeling to that organization that they needed. So,
Yeah, definitely. And look, they're making the playoffs now, making the second round.
yeah.
I feel like it's all coming together for them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're also having a great season as well. I think Jalen Brunson had like 50 points the other night, and they beat
Yeah,
the
he did.
Suns in Phoenix. Great win. They're like
Yeah.
fifth in the East right now. So just going on to our next point, talking more about you as like a TBL coach, which is a league, the basketball league, for
Yeah.
those of you who might not know. So like you were previously, before you took the new job with the Derby City Distillers, you were the assistant coach for the Owensboro Thoroughbreds. How did you end up getting that job in the first place? Like, can you talk about like the process of going from a college coach to the coach of the Owensboro Thoroughbreds?
Yeah, well, I had started probably 8 or 9 years ago. Just I jumped into the professional game, you know, watching the NBA and doing everything I could to learn as much as I could about the professional game. So I went to several summers. I went to, I think, three. I went to Pro Scout School in Vegas during Summer League,
Right.
and I studied that online as well. So I was just trying to do as much as I could at that level. You know, I wanted to study the game and just work at the highest level possible. So when I noticed the TBL had a team in Owensboro, I had tried for a couple of years with the previous coach. I couldn't get on with him. It just didn't work out with my schedule and my full-time job. But when Coach Mark Anderson, when he took over, it was a simple LinkedIn message, just like you messaged me. You know, it sounds like a real easy process. You know, send him a message. He needed an assistant coach, and my interview was basically going up to Indianapolis to our league-wide combine and tryout and draft, and that was basically my interview all weekend. Was we hung out, we talked basketball, and we scouted players and evaluated players, and by the end of it, he was like, "All right, I think you'll fit." So,
Perfect.
yeah, it worked out.
How do you think your time as a college coach though has prepared you to coach a professional team?
Yeah, like I said earlier, that I started, you know, we've developed a database that would help us, you know, put players down that we've built relationships with, players that contacted us through different media outlets. So just that recruiting and that organization of players, you know, if I, you know, I'm going to a new team and I already have a list of 40 players potentially that I'm going to contact and say, do you want to play for Derby City? You know, that started with back in, that didn't start just with Owensboro. That started as a college coach, and I kept the same type of information there, you know. So it's just that being organized and being ready, having recruits ready, and building relationships. That started in college, and it kind of continued off to now.
Going back to like the college days, you said you were like the bus driver, a coach,
Yeah.
like all those different skills that you picked up, like you can really see are like helping you now. Like all those different roles are really like coming into effect now in your new job coaching a professional team. I like that's amazing. Like how it's like when you play on the court, like sometimes some workouts you work on like dribbling, sometimes you work on your shooting, sometimes you work on your playmaking, and all. It's like amazing to see it all come together at the end of the day. So I found that like really interesting. Since we've talked about like you taking this new job with Derby City, what does this new position entail, and like what made you honestly like decide to make the move from Owensboro to Derby City at the end of the day?
Well, unfortunately, Owensboro, we're not coming back this year.
Oh, sorry.
which minor league basketball, it's just something that happens as part of the game. But it was a great 3 years, man. I loved it. I had great respect for who the owner was, and then Chris Allison, and then Mark Anderson, who I worked under, he was the head coach. But he also made me the assistant general manager. So
Oh, wow.
we were a great team when we were in Owensboro. So he was the head coach and GM, and I was the assistant coach and assistant GM, and we were always on the same page. Now for Derby City, I'm going to be doing a lot of the same stuff. I'll be an assistant coach, and then also doing some front office stuff. So it'll be different, learning a new organization, learning new ways, a new city. But IU Southeast, where I used to coach basketball, is right across the river from Louisville. So I've already been immersed in the Louisville basketball scene, 15 years ago. It's just a matter of getting back into it. So I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces. Actually, our head coach, McCall Coleman, I coached him at IU Southeast 10 years ago.
Oh,
So it's kind of a reunion for us.
that's amazing.
So yeah, it's neat. So hopefully it'll be an easy transition. Knowing him, he knows me. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's great. Can you talk a little bit about, I really just want to know, what's it like balancing being an assistant coach and working in the front office at the same time? Like, we see a lot of guys in the NBA go from head coaches to the front office, but never at like the same time. Like, can you talk about like balancing both positions?
Well, it goes back to what we talked about, was wearing several hats, in college as a college coach, because I mean, as a head coach in college, you're really the GM also.
Yeah.
If you think of it that way, because you're deciding who's on the team, you're deciding how much scholarship money they get, you're deciding where you stay in hotel rooms, and you're deciding the schedule. As the assistant coach, you're basically the assistant GM, where you're
Right.
setting the table for him, and then he comes in the last second, and hopefully he wins the recruit over. So to me, it's no different. To me, it's no different. The professional game now. Is it bigger stakes possibly? Yeah, because now you're dealing with money.
Right.
But I in my mind, I put scholarships and money together. So basically I'm offering a guy a scholarship. It's just like offering a guy a scholarship.
Right.
You get room and board, you get a scholarship. It's real money this time instead of schoolwork.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of going away from basketball right now, because you said,
Is
as we thought,
that
it's not possible.
possible?
Always just want to stay in the gym. You can never get away from the game. The game will always find you, as we talked about previously. But you said you want to talk, you like to talk about not just basketball. So I noticed that you were a part of a camp organizing committee called Camp Quality Kentuckiana for like 13 years. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like, I really thought that was a little in, that was really interesting, because it shows like, not it shows more than you being just like a basketball coach or like an assistant GM. It shows like you getting out there in the community. So can you talk about that?
Camp Quality is an awesome camp. And if you get an opportunity, they have them all over the country, I think, and all over the world. It started in Australia, in the 70s, I think. But it's a camp for kids with cancer, who go for a week, and their motto, one of their mottos is, "We're kids with can just be kids." If they're sick, they forget about everything, So I started as part of that organization. What they do is they team adults up with children who have cancer, and you're almost like peers with them for the whole week. So
Right.
you sleep you you know they'll sleep on the bottom bunk, you sleep on the top bunk. You eat all your meals together. You basically go camping for a week, and you shoot bow and arrows, you go swimming, you do zip lining, do arts and crafts. So it's a lot of fun. I've made a
Amazing.
lot of lifelong friends. I was a they call them companions. I was a companion for many years, and then transitioned over into the organizing committee, to where you plan the entire week of camp. And it's so much fun. I've made lifelong friends. Several campers become friends. Truly, you talk about heroes, those kids that have battled and beaten cancer.
Right.
It's amazing to see them grow up, and to see them prosper, and to see them become adults. It's wonderful to see.
How did you get in? How did you get into this committee though?
I actually answered and they put an ad in our school newspaper at IU Southeast. And the funny thing is, I never read the newspaper there. That day I did. So I opened it up and they had an ad in there. They were looking for more companions. And so I called the director up, and he actually lived down the street from the school.
Oh,
So I went
wow.
to his house and talked to him, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
No, that sounds amazing. Like it really gives these kids an opportunity to like take their minds off of being sick, battling cancer, and like kind of show them like the aspects of like what kids do in everyday life, like
Right.
go down the block, play, camp, probably make s'mores too with the s'mores.
Well, we do that, s'mores. Yeah, s'mores and hot dogs and
Oh
yeah,
man,
a lot of
my
things.
favorite. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite story is, and it goes back to, a kid didn't want to do something,
Right.
and his way of getting out of it was, would I have cancer? And one of his buddies looked at him and said, "So, I don't care, I do too. Let's
Right.
go." And so the kid went, "All right, well, I guess I have to, that, like, so." And they went off and did their thing, and they had a blast, and so it's just really neat to see.
That's kind of like that kind of goes back to like, I know I said we're not going to talk about basketball a little bit, but again, you can't get away from the game, man. But that's kind of like as a team, do you ever you know how like coach would say you got to run sprints or suicides and everyone has to make it? And it's like, oh man, I don't have any more. Man, we're all in this together. We're all doing this. We're all struggling. I'm tired too. I have all the stresses of like classes, finals. But no, we're gonna finish this together. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna knock down those free throws, and then we'll be out of here. We'll be out of here.
Man,
So like,
peer pressure, man.
yeah, I know, man.
Yeah.
That's good peer pressure though.
That's
Not
good peer pressure, right?
the bad kind. We
Right,
all know the
100%.
bad kind.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Coach Brad. I really appreciate you coming on the show today and like sharing your story with us. That I hope I can repay the favor one day, but you know, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you asking me, man. You kind of caught me off guard, because you threw a couple big time names at me, who
Oh,
you've
no,
talked
no,
to
no.
who you talked to before, and I'm like, whoa, hold on now. But I love talking basketball. I love, I don't particularly love talking about myself a lot. But the way you laid it out there was great, and it wasn't much of a problem. But I love talking about the game. I love helping others. So, like I said, if there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know.
Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to let you know though, don't worry about all the other names. Like the goal here of this interview was to like share your story, like highlight all the great points, like just your journey in this like rigorous sports industry. I know it's not an easy industry to work in, and like it could be like you could be like an NBA legend, a head coach to like a manager coming up, coming like on the bench, like I don't really think it matters. I think everyone has like a great story to tell, like how they got into the industry, what they aspire to do in the future. Like it really doesn't matter to me. I just wanted to highlight your story in the best way that I could, but I really appreciate you sharing it with me. Thank you.
It's a great platform, man. Keep it up.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.